Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week, our guest will be the Paisik of America, Harav HaGoyin Reb David Cohn, the Rav of Gvul Yavetz and the Mechaber of maybe 30 Svarim, and he will be speaking about two contemporary issues, one which has been in the headlines recently, and that is the clerk in Kentucky who chose jail rather than sign a marriage license of two same-sex couple. And I know to most of you, this is really a very foreign topic because, for starters, none of you will ever be a county clerk for a number of reasons. First of all, you could never pay your tuitions for your children or your grandchildren if you were a county clerk in private school, which, you know, we have to do. And your kids' chasanas, kids in Kyle, et cetera. So it's not very let's face it, how many county clerks are there in New York City or in the surrounding area? But on a more relevant, let's think of this. You have a bakery and somebody walks in and they want to buy a wedding cake for a same-sex couple's wedding. Now, recently, in the Portland area, a bakery was sued and they lost $135,000 in damages. So what's the halacha? Are you allowed to sell them the cake or not? Or alternatively, you have a wedding hall and they want to get married in your hall, wherever it may be, Beis Chaya, Beis Rachel, etc. Or you're asked to play in the band by that wedding. Can you or can't you? So it's really much more relevant. The ruling is only a couple of months old. So all the different iterations of how it's going to affect you, we don't know yet. So we said, let's go to the biggest paisik we have here in America and say, what is the halacha? Could she or couldn't she? Now, while I had him on the phone, and it's not easy to get Reb David, he agreed to speak about molestation too. And he said, there was recently a letter, he called it the Hetemeyer Rabbanim, from 100 Rabbanim that said you should go straight to the police, but this has been hotly disputed. Everybody knows it, Aguda, I can't say for sure, but this is what my recollection says, Aguda said no. They issued a psak, a purported psak from Rebbe Yashiv, that said you're supposed to go to your local Orthodox rabbi in such a case. And Reb David Cohn has a very adamant and, you know, stand on this, and I think it's very important for everybody who's a parent, an educator, just a member of society to hear his position on it. So let's go straight to our program. You're listening to us on WMCA 570 or WMCA.com or on the Nachum Segal Network at NachumSegal.com. So we're speaking to the great Paisik, Reb David Cohn, and Shalom Aleichem to the Rav.
Aleichem Shalom. I don't consider myself a great paisik.
Okay. We were asked a number of questions I'd like to have your feedback on. The clerk in Kentucky, Kim Davis, who will not issue licenses to gay couples, if she was Orthodox Jew and her parnassa was Tullianus, her livelihood, would she be allowed to or not? What is Das Torah? What is the halacha?
To my mind, what she did was a great Kiddush Hashem. I would say if a Jew would ask me, what should I do? I would say that al pi halacha you're mechuyev to do what she did because of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, in the end of the third shah, comments on the Maim Chazal of the four kitos, kat leitzim, kat shakonim, kat chanofim, kat medabrei l'shoin hora, and he takes each one of these kitos, and he gives us, he divides each kat into different madregos of the chomer ha'avera. When he goes into chanufa, and chanufa, we would say means flattering, but there are different madregas, of course, of flattering. I could say you have a beautiful tie. I really don't think so, but I want to make you feel good. So the Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Yud Zayinim at Aleph says that because of Lo'ilam Yehi Daita Shalodim Urevis Semabrius, even Beis Shammai, who do not agree with Beis Hillel, that you sing Kalanovach Suda if you don't think so. They agree that a person should make someone else feel good and compliment them on the toy, even though you don't think it's a nice tie. But we call this chanufa. And this chanufa, we're being matir, just like we're being matir sheker mipnei ha-sholem, mishanim mipnei ha-sholem. Not all sheker is mutl mipnei ha-sholem. If a person feels that if he would bring home a lot of money, he would have shalom bayis, he's not allowed to be a con man to make a lot of money through his sheker mipnei ha-sholem. Similarly, in chanufa, the greatest aveir of chanufa is when you tell someone, it doesn't matter if you're a Mechal Shabbos. It's okay at times to be Mechal Shabbos. That's called chanufa. And Rabbi Yaina says, Chayiv Adam Limsayr Es Atzmai La'ariga, not to be over the Savera. Evidently, Rabbi Yaina maintained that it's Chilul Hashem. And for Chilul Hashem, it's Yehorek Val Yava. So chanufa can be Chilul Hashem. For a person to say it's okay, there is such a thing as a marriage between identical sexes, is Chilul Hashem, because the Torah says it's a Toeva. Incidentally, in English, I also think that marriage is not to be defined that way. We're talking about the definition of a word. But those people who want to liberalize everything are ready to change meanings as well. So that I believe, la'alacha, if you have a chuyiv in Yehorek Val Yaver, to do what this kid, is it Kim Davis, what she did, you're mechuyiv to let yourself be killed, certainly losing parnasa, I would say, an easier thing than Yehorek Val Yaver.
Now, I just want to say, there's a Yireim in Reish Mem Ches who says that Chanufa is when there's no fear l'mamaynei ay l'gufay.
So yes.
Is it possible that here that she's worried about mamaynei, her parnasa, there would be no issa Chanufa?
I agree with what you said. But Rabbeinu Yoina gives us different standards of Chanufa.
Right.
He says this, I think, after the second standard. Here we have a chanufa. I gave you an example of a chanufa where the Gemara says it's mutter. It's chanufa, but it's mutter. The Gemara says, this is really Gemara Saita Mem Aleph Amid Beis, that they were machnif la grifas hamelech, and they called him a chinu, and he wasn't a chinu. So the Tosfos asked there from a Gemara in a Dorim, where the Gemara says Ula went with two Jews, and one killed the other, and Ula was machnif him.
Right.
And he said, you did a clean job.
Right.
Paralei
beis hashchita.
So he felt very badly. He told Rabbi Yochanan, look what I did. So he says, nafshecha itzalta. In other words, you didn't say to him, you're allowed to kill. You complimented him on the clean job that he did, which doesn't mean that you said you're allowed to kill. That's chanufa means that you're allowed to do this to Dvar Aveira. That's the chomer of chanufa when Rabbeinu Yoina says, Yehorek Val Yaver. But a chanufa for any other thing could even be mutter, because it's not made to say that it's still chanufa. It's flattering a person, but it's not flattering to say you did the right thing, which is against the Torah. So we're defining a different chanufa. And here we find a chanufa which says you're allowed to do the chanufa. You're allowed to compliment the person and say that was a good boy.
So she's a hero, in effect. She is standing up for a Kiddush
Hashem. I think that she'll have tremendous schar for standing up for what she think was right, which is the Ratzon, happens to be Ratzon Hashem, that it's a toeva. And not the, and there's no such thing as a marriage. In fact, we know Midrashim, that the Midrashim says that albeit the Gemara says in Chulin, I think Tzadik Aleph, that even though there were Shleisha Mitzvahs, that Goyim were Makabel, and I don't want to go into it because we know it's Zayim Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, Rabbi Kveger and the Gideon Ashaz brings Ramami Panu, that itemizes the 7 into 30. But they still are Makayim only 3, that they don't sell human meat even though some of them consume it, but they don't sell it b'makulin in the place where meat is sold. They are mechaber es hatayra,
and ain't kaisvin shtar
lezacha. Also, they are not kaisvin ksuvah l'schara. Mind you, we're not speaking about the aveira of mishkav zachar. We're writing about the aveira of considering it a marriage, kaisvin ksuvah. And that's what so many states are falling into, this trap that that this avla of considering it a marriage is kaisvin ksuvah l'schara, that our medrash tells us that that's what not the mabul, but mabulim came to the world because it is. So everyone is ignoring the tsunamis and the tremendous storm that are causing such havoc. And of course, whether you agree or don't agree with the changing of the temperature of the earth, all kinds of problems that there are people that are worried about this, but they're ignoring it as if there's no hashgacha pratiyus. Hashem is Yeshev Vashamayim, and he sees Maisa B'nai Adam. And the Medrash tells us that these are things that happen when Kaisvin Ksuvah L'Scharim. And we see it happening, but of course, nobody is Meisim Lev on this. But this is what's happening right now. We do see things that are happening, Mida Keneged Mida, in Europe, slowly but surely, V'day L'Maven, Mida Keneged Mida. And all because of the European sinus, Yisrael, we see these things happening. We do happen to see, look, I'm not a Baal Ruach HaKadosh, but we do see so many of the simonim about Ikfas of the Mashiach. The last years, there are wars all over the world. Things are happening that are simonim for Mashiach all over the world. I would think an alert person realizes the hashgacha pratius that's going on when these things happen. And people are obdurately impervious to these, that the states are falling by the wayside. We're losing our anushias. And this is under President Obama. We are losing our anushias. That what the Supreme Court, the recent rulings of the Supreme Court, and we understand very well why one of the Supreme Court justices really, he lost it. He became so angry because it was obvious that the majority, firstly the majority that voted for Obamacare, but clear as day that they're just, everything is politics. It's no longer law. They're not talking law. They're not thinking law. There is no doubt in my mind that if the court will come back to its senses, they certainly are going to rule that freedom of religion dominates. And these rules that are being made, in other words, that Davis was right, and she had a right to say, my religion doesn't permit me to do this, and therefore, law cannot force me to do this. We have to understand in American history that originally it was noted that it's a Christian country, and it's a country under God, except that there is also freedom of religion. And what atheists are doing right now, the liberal groups, what they're doing is they're just everything, you can do whatever you want to have a good time, and trying to turn everything around. And one looks at it and sees how the fundamentals of this country, which was built on loving kindness, on helping out, on giving, that was something extraordinary in the history of mankind, how this is going to the dogs because of politics, how everything is sheichad.
Let me ask you a question. We really get a lot of this question in various forms by email. On a different topic, 100 Rabbanim, starting in Chicago, was under Rabbi First, came out with a psak that's saying that if somebody accuses somebody of molestation, a child accuses an adult of molestation, they should go to the police. There have been murmurs disagreeing, saying, no, you go to a Rav. Tell us, what is halacha psuka in your opinion?
You leave out the word psuka. In my humble opinion, this manifesto is nothing new, because I've been paskening this for the last 20 years, let us say, as Rav Avogel, because a tremendous amount of shilas would come my way. I know many rabbanim who just send it my way, and I pasken one should go to the authorities directly. There were one or two cases where people were over-exaggerating about the molestation of a parent to a child, and I told them, don't report this. But in every other case, to my recollection, I said, go to the authorities. You don't have to ask a shiva. Again, here we have again a state law that says that the person who is a mandated reporter can't ask a clergyman. This is again against the Constitution. There's no one out to fight it, but there's no doubt in my mind it's against the Constitution. They can't make such a law that if my religious training says I have to ask a rav whether I can report it, they can't make such a law. They're just doing it because they're reacting. They used to be a person who was a mandated reporter who didn't do it, didn't even get a slap on the wrist. And then when they saw what molestation can do, they went the other way. This other way is unconstitutional. We just need to see people to fight it. I am very tolerant of people who will ask rabbanim. I am not tolerant of rabbanim who don't know how to eat this thing. You'll pardon the, put it in quotes. They don't know what molestation is all about, and that's why perhaps they feel that it's nothing. So it's being slowly turned around. But to me, this heta mei rabbanim is nothing new whatsoever. I don't
why
know
isn't it a shiloh of mas- it. Why isn't it a shiloh of Masira?
For many, many reasons. Start with A. We are not allowed, let's forget a moment about being Moisa someone, Lahariga. It's a beferish adina shulchan aruch, black and white, that a mitzaris hatzibul.
Shin peches, right?
Yeah, shin peches and mechashemish, but I think it may be siftes, but it's beferish. Mitzar hatzibul, you give him over to the authorities not to kill him. Lani yastati, we have no right bisman hazeh to be ma'anish someone. My opinion is that anyone who's guilty of molestation, that's guilty by umdana, and incidentally there's a ramah that ketanim takonas hagoinim that ketanim anemon.
As on nashim, the ramah nashim where there's no anashim nimtza.
Right,
you have the truth of the shalomeshiv on it. Yeah.
But it's a ramah, so right. I'm not saying the ramah goes for gabi hilchos seidus. By us, umdana is enough. If the umdana is that what these children are saying is true, according to the umdana, we have to not punish. We're not allowed to punish. But we have to be matzil hatzibur. So I believe that every molester should be given a life sentence, unless we know from evidence that the person changed before we sat on the trial. Before we made this judgment, because to protect the tzibur, he'll be out in a year, 2 years, 3 years. Why? How are we protecting the tzibur in 3 years? The goyim look at this as a punishment. We're not punishing. We have to protect our children. And because of this, I feel life sentences should be given for molestation. Except if everyone will testify that they see a tremendous change, then under certain circumstances, they should let the person out of prison. So that's ABC that Mitzar HaTzibur these people are. I believe that those Rabbonim that were always very lax and were against paskening, that a Mitzar HaTzibur should be given over to the authorities, it's simply because they didn't know what molestation meant. 40 years ago, top psychologists didn't begin to know what molestation did because there was no feedback from those who were molested. But as the evidence became more and more that there are so many people who are suffering, and some of them for life, that their joie de vivre was taken out of them. People have no more simchas hachayim, and many of them for life. When it became more and more realized that this is happening, so then we understood, hey, there's such a big molestation. But these rabbanim don't know the effects of molestation. That's the only way, I don't want to use the word justify, but that I can understand how they could say, forget about it, it's nothing. I can't justify what they did in any way if they would really know what a molestation does. So this whole manifesto of 100 rabbanim, I don't know who's sponsoring it. I have my chashashos v'dayla maven, what this is all about and how it all came about. But it's, to me, as we say in the Gemara, poshut kebeya sebekutcha, just like you're allowed to eat an egg that's finished in a milchik dip, albeit it comes from a chicken. We all know that's mutter. The Gemara wants to say that maybe it's not even called a hayroah because it's so poshut. So the Gemara gives this as an example. This is poshut to me, that knowing what we know today, it's poshut that you go to the authorities. Rabbonim are not trained like psychologists. Even among psychologists, one needs special training in this area called molestation. So they, before, when they have a case against the person, there is consultation. The person is giving a fair chance to defend himself. But certainly, we have to give these up. It's sorry at Seber. This is the way we have to react. This is step one in why we are obligated to do so. And a person who doesn't do so is over an avera called leisamer al dam reyecha. There's no doubt in my mind. There is a heter, let us say, that if a person who would be the reporter feels that they would have personal damage if they would report it, there is a heter, because there are many achronim, gedoli achronim, that say that the halacha that I'm mechuyev to do a mitzvah saseh up to a fifth, which is the basis of a heter, that if someone is a chayel shein by sakana, he's potter from mitzvahs. And the halacha that you have to give all of your money not to be over a log saseh.
It's only by kum vaseh.
That's a criterion. Yeah. Hello? That's Ramon and Tafresh and Vav and Erechai.
Yeah, but it's only by kum vaseh, a lot of paiskim say.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
So many paiskim say that a tafkamin is kum vaseh and shevi al tasa. And I have a letter from, I think it's your great uncle, the Tzitzeliezer, who paskim like that, who sent me a tshuva to that effect, where it was a question of someone losing his job and parnasa, and it was a question of him reporting it, and there it was really dinei nefashis, mind you. It was a case of someone who used to shoot heroin, where the statistic was that it's 85% that the person has an illness, and this person would be giving over the illness to his kala that he was going to marry in a few weeks, and the person called me about notifying, and he said that there would be terrible consequences, and I said, please, it's pikuach nefesh. And I gave him various advice how to handle it. But then I wrote a letter to the Tzitz Eliezer Zatzal, and he came out with this, what you just said, that Shevi Altasi is not mechuyev to lose his job for Shevi Altasi, and it was literally dinner nefashis then. So there is a heter. There are people whose children are in shidduchim. They're afraid of the notoriety. So I tell them, it's like samad, but if you feel that you may have such a great loss, you have a heter. But otherwise, a person is mechuyev to notify the authorities. I must tell you, there are many, many more reasons. I don't know if you want me to go into a halachic discussion. But even in, it's in Hilchus Rodeif, it's Halach of Rodeif. If someone is Rodeif and you can save the Nirdav by killing the Rodeif, That's what the Torah says you do it.
Yeah, but covered the Rav, that
yes.
It has to be a Nara Psula, a Nara Hamureses, but without Nara Hamureses, if it's Oinus alone, it doesn't have a din of a right of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin.
We're talking in the Mishnah when it's Negeya to Hariga.
Lagabe, no, but Lagabe Raidif to kill the
yes,
to kill the Raidif,
right.
It has to be.
But the Torah told us
that
someone who's Raidif to do certain things, you can kill him under certain circumstances.
Yeah, but that's because
it's a molester, and then there's the din of Moser. A Moser is also a Raidif, but only if he was Moser Gimel Pramim. So over here, first of all, I must tell you, there was in history, we don't know a case of a molester only one time. So someone who is a molester is a rodef. Now, I didn't say you could kill him, but if someone is rodef to maim someone, the halacha is just as if he's out to kill a person, you could kill him. If he's out to maim someone, you could maim him. You can't kill him, but you can maim him. Someone who's out to molest someone, you can do to the rodef whatever is equal to the what could happen to the nerduf. So I believe that a jail term is no less than the suffering of a nerduf. So the principle of rodef is here. I have many other reasons. Another reason is because although there are shittas that hold that by Dina de Malchusadina, that in all these halachas, you don't follow Dina de Malchusadina, it's only a din in Dina Mominus. But there are many who paskin in the Meisim of Metzia Pegimu with Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kalcha. Rabbi Shmuel was a DA of sorts.
Kufyud Gimel, Ahmed Beis, yeah.
I'm sorry?
Kufyud Gimel, Ahmed Beis, right?
No, it's Pegimel Ahmed Beis, but we'll have time to check that out later. If I'm wrong, erase it. I believe it's Pagan Malamed Bezim Bavim Metzia, and Rabbi Shuma Kocha told him that what are you doing to Am Yisrael? Yeah. And he answered him. So there's really
and
a machlokes.
And the Beis brings it la'alacha.
Yes. Beis Yosef in the beginning brings it la'alacha, but there's a machlokes who you paskin like. So there are many who paskin that not like Rabbi Shuma Kocha, like Rabbi Yishmael. So there are really many reasons la'alacha. Why it's not only mutter, it's a mitzvah.
Can I add one more?
If it ends at three, because I must take calls then.
Okay. So the Shach brings Marimi Riesenberg. He says, "Haroidef achachaveru lahakosei."
It's mutter, right. He can protect himself.
Yeah, if somebody's running after somebody with a club, you don't call a Rav, you call the police. That's what the Shach paskins.
Yes, and Rav Bigsatzal from Borough Park, Seichet Sadek Lavracha, used to give the marshal that if the 3 a.m. someone's coming into your house, you don't call the Rav, can I call the cops? That was his marshal.
Okay. I want to thank the Rav. We have at least another 30 shilas that people have sent in that I should ask you, but I respect your time limits, and we'd greatly appreciate if we could have you on another occasion.
Belina, It's a pleasure to talk to you as always. You should have a ksivach simatayva.
Maybe bench the whole island. Bench the whole island with a
varim. The whole island, there should be a ksivach simatayva. We should be zeiche bekorov to Mashiach tzedkenu. All this good for Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Be blessed. Kol tov.
So it's always wonderful to have Harav Gaon Reb David Cohen, and it's halacha psuka what he says, both in reference to what he said about molestation as well as how to deal with the same-sex marriage issues that the Supreme Court has brought on us. I would like to, before we have our next guest, Rav Nissen Kaplan from Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Yivin Mir, to speak about smoking in yeshivas, which is a very interesting topic. I would like to say a little thought just on the time that we're going through. It's right before Rosh Hashanah. It's the end of the year. And the Gemara says at the end of every year before Rosh Hashanah, we read the Teichecha as Tich Leshana V'kil Leiseh. So there's something about Rosh Hashanah and reading about the curses of the Teichecha. And let me tell you a thought. They say over a story, and I've heard it from different people. Chabad says it from the Balatanya. Others say it from the Noam Elimelech, that the son of the Noam Elimelech, Blazer Jikova, was in a town in Poland, And he was in his young 30s, and he heard them reading the curses in the in Deuteronomy, in Kisavai, and he fainted. And when they woke him up, he said, I can't believe God would do such terrible things. So they said to him, I don't understand. Don't you? We read it every year. Like, why'd you faint this year? And he said, I know, but every year I hear it in my father's shul, the Naim Elimelech shul, and when he reads them, they sounded to always to me like blessings. They sounded like blessings. What an amazing story. How did he pull that one off? Now there's a Gemara in Ma'id Katan that says a similar story. The Gemara says that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai had two great Tanoim who visited him and came to learn by him. One was Reb Yehuda Ben Gerim. I forgot the other one's name. And he was very impressed by them. He said, Anashim Shol Tzurahim, these are people of stature, he told his son. Go get a blessing from them. So he went to where they were, and he got a blessing, and went to their inn, and they gave him a blessing. They said, may your helm always be wrecked. May you always plant, but never reap. And a number of other brachas like this. So he went running home to his father. He said, not only didn't they bless me, they actually cursed me. And his father said, really? What did they say? He said, they said, may your home always be wrecked. And he smiled and he said, what he was telling you is, may your home be full of children, rambunctious children and grandchildren. May they always be a pandemonium of laughter in your home. He said, but what about the other one? May you reap, may you sow but not reap. He said, oh, they were telling you, may you have children, but never, God forbid, bury them. And a number of other blessings like this. And my question to you, my dear listener, is why did they give such a roundabout blessing? I mean, why didn't they just say, may your children always live, may your house be filled with pandemonium? Like, why did they reframe it in such a strange, rather, you know, potentially really misunderstood manner? And I suggest to you that a lot of the things that happen to us in life really have to be reframed. And they were telling him, learn the muscle, the art of reframing. And you know, my mother-in-law, Zohar Levrach, Rebbetzin Mendelowitz, was a teacher here in Muncie for maybe 50 years. And students used to come, and there were amusing anecdotes. Like one girl came in and she was studying Digduk, grammar, and she was struggling, and she told my mother-in-law smiled, she said, you know, Shana, she said, your mother also struggled with the same grammar when I taught her. And then she thought, she said, and your grandmother too. So a girl came in once, she was crying, she said, you know, I have such bad luck in Shidduchim with men that I always end up with like people who are abusive and they take advantage, and I never realize till too late. And it's just been this endless. And my mother-in-law looked at her and she said, you know, let me reframe this question, this situation. There are a lot of bad people out there, just people who take advantage. You're the type of person, you're very kind-hearted. So people who otherwise would get blown off, they would just say, get out of here, they know that you're the type of person that they can come to again and again and again, and just your heart is so open, you will give and you give and you give. And they know that you're too nice and you're the people, sort of like, quote unquote, the sucker who people take advantage of. So would you rather become hard-hearted and mean and lose that? Or maybe just learn how to set limits and say, look, this is how much I give and I don't give more. This is how good I am, and I have to recognize when people take advantage. Do you want to lose that beauty of a beautiful heart? And when she finished saying it, the girl just started smiling. She said, it's a blessing what I have. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. And so much in our life is blessing. Do you know, have you ever had this experience? You buy some type of a wedding or this, and there are people standing together talking. And this happened to me once, and this person is carrying on about all the problems his children give him. And his child this, and his child just got thrown out of school for doing this, and another child banged up the car, and tuition is so high. And I see there's a woman sitting there, and she's like fumbling, and she like looks really very upset. And I ask him, like, what's with that with her? And she says, oh, they've been trying to have kids now for 20 years and they can't have children. I mean, could you imagine how painful it is for somebody who can't have children hearing about all the problems you have paying tuition or how your kids scratched up your new car because they're learning how to drive? I mean, isn't that a blessing to have children who scratch up your car? Isn't it have a blessing to take your kid to the doctor because they really skinned their knee hard when they fell off their bicycle, or maybe they got hit by a soccer ball in the nose and it's bleeding? I mean, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that reframing? You know, the Gemara, it says that Yaakov, Midas Emes, he says, Aye Lavan Avicha, he's looking to become a son-in-law by Lavan, the most dishonest man, Lavan HaRamoi. And the Medrash says, why did Yaakov like Lavan? What did he see in Lavan? He said, Aye mi sheyodea lelabein avayneseyem shol Yisrael. Who can whitewash the sins? And this is what he loved about. And what does that mean? That means Lavan had the ability to see things in a very sort of like a shifty way. He saw it in a multitudinous light. You have a temper? Oh, that means when somebody's doing the wrong thing, and everybody's a chicken to get up and say something, that means you're probably the person who gets up and says something to right a wrong. You won't sit there and be silent. Oh, you're the guy who's too indulgent and maybe that leads you to the wrong place. You don't see boundaries. So you're really the person who people come to when they need a favor. Lavan was able to take every person's black spot and shift the lens on it. Like you do on the new iPhone, you know, you can change it to where that terrible picture you took suddenly becomes rosy and you change the light and it glimmers. He could do that with the worst parts of you, with the worst parts of your children, your mother, the people who you struggle with, the people in your life. He could always shift it. Now, unfortunately, Lavan took it the wrong way. You know, you can also reframe negatively. They say a story. A girl comes into the office one day and she has a black eye. So somebody says to her, like, what happened? She says, you know, I just made a mistake when I asked a question. He says, well, what do you mean? He says, you know, this morning I meant to ask my husband, can you please pass the orange juice? And instead I said to him, you know you ruined my life, you blankety blank. So Lavan, unfortunately, used reframing to tell Yaakov, Hichlaftas Maskurti Aseres Mainim, he figured out a way to reframe to try to get everything that was from Yaakov suddenly become his, Shalcha Shali. But reframing is a gift. So let's go back. This is the end of the year, and it's the Teichacha. And what did Reb Lezer Oljikova say about his father? And what does the Gemara Ma'id Katan says? So many times, things that come into our life that seem like darkness, It wasn't really dark. We just have to change the lens a little bit. Maybe it never was a curse. Maybe we were just looking at it in the wrong light. And as we come to the new year, maybe besides asking God, Hashem, to say, let us have a better year, maybe one of the tefillos we learned from the Teichas maybe just had to change the lens on our camera. Maybe things won't change in our life. Trust me, it's much easier to change the lens in your camera than to change a lot of the situations or certainly people in our lives. Let's go to our next guest. We're speaking with one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir, Rabbi Nissen Kaplan, Rabbi Goyen Rav Nissen Kaplan. He has one of the largest shiurim in the world with over 200 boys. You can listen to him online on many different sites. What would you say about smoking? I know, unfortunately, in America, smoking has, for the great part, been, you know, almost obliterated. It's substantially down. It's in the low single digits, the amount of teenagers who smoke. Sadly, in other communities, it's not that way. And my question to you is, what is your opinion about Bachram smoking? And, you know, Ramosha wrote a famous tshuva, Shoyma Psayim Hashem, about smoking. Do you think it still applies today? Would you consider somebody who smokes kasha le'edus? Give me a little bit of both the hashkafa and a halachic view on it.
Okay. First, you know, because I don't smoke, and I really don't like smoking, and it's like, you know, when I check into a shidduch, I make sure that my son-in-law does not smoke. So maybe I'm a little bit biased. Yeah, but I'll try not to be biased. And I think, you know, To be biased against smoking, it's most of the world, like you said, it's the very in thing today that smoking is not permitted and it's not accepted. And it's easy to be against smoking. But if we really want it down, like you asked the question, so I think we have to divide it. For sure, the advice, and more from advice, is to young guys not to smoke. We in Eretz Yisrael did not let, and no yeshiva, and no bis medrash, and no koilel, we did not let smoking in the building. If a boy will take a cigarette out in the mirror, he'll be kicked out of the place. He could smoke outside in the street, but he cannot smoke in the bis medrash. That today became like not even a question. I could say in the last 10 years, I did not remember even that we had to tell a boy to not to put up a cigarette in the bis medrash. No one has a cigarette in the bis medrash. Even no one shows, even boys that are smoking, I never saw a boy outside yeshiva smoking. I can't say that I don't believe that there is some boys that I smoke, but I never saw the last 10 years a Talmud of mine smoke. Meaning we managed to give over the message very clearly that it's not the right thing. And why it's not the right thing? First, even if it will not be so not healthy, it makes a person to be addicted to something that he doesn't really need to be addicted to. You know, he's a regular boy, and he starts to buy the cigarettes, smoke. Forget about the bad smell that it does, that it disturbs different people. But why to start when you're young and you're stupid with something that later you cannot stop yourself, even when you want to? Adding to that, that a guy that smokes a lot, for sure, is not healthy for him. I'm not even saying because we know medically. A guy that smokes a lot, you know, he can't breathe properly, puts up weight, he needs it the whole time. So for sure, we managed, I think, like you said, in America, societies here also, it's very not accepted. Very not accepted. If you remember once, a head of a country, or a rabbi, or someone that comes to a public place and takes a cigarette, tries to picture it in the last years, you almost never see it.
I'll tell you about the story I heard from...
When we were kids, we saw it. But I wanted to go to your second question.
Can I interrupt Rav Kaplan, you said about why become addicted. I heard a story from Rav Mart Chaludma Zohar Levracha. He was a Reshet Shirei Torah. He said that years ago, he was at in Eretz Yisrael, he was at a protest against the British occupation. So he was thrown into jail for 2 days. And he was thrown in with a very famous journalist who was sharing his cell. And he had cigarettes on him, and the journalist didn't. So he smoked a cigarette, and you know, and then he threw it on the floor, and he stubbed it out. And there was a drop of tobacco left in the cigarette. So he said, this journalist, he says, it was a world-famous journalist from Time magazine, got on his hands and knees, picked up this filthy stub from a filthy jail floor, who knows what was on the floor, put it in his mouth, and he lit it to get the two puffs. And he said, I decided then that if this is what smoking can make a person do, I will not. And he said he never smoked again in his life after that.
Wow. It's a beautiful story because the story really brings us out the point that the smoking that a person does is not even really because he enjoys it, it's because he's addicted.
Becomes your
like
master.
You're saying, that person, how much you could enjoy two pups, but it's so disgusting. Even if you will have a person will have an ice cream on the floor that he really likes, but in such a disgusting surrounding, he will not touch that ice cream. The answer is he's not eating it because he's not smoking it because he wants it. He's smoking it because he's addicted to it.
And like most addictions, it starts off with a hana, with a pleasure, that initially it's meant to pleasure us, but ultimately it becomes our bailam, it becomes our master. Not unlike...
Right, and I'm telling you, cigarettes, a lot of people even didn't start from enjoying. A lot of teenagers feel it's like a grown-up thing. It's like a man, like a strong. It's not even really... A lot of them, you know, they choke and they cough in the beginning and they just force themselves to get used to it.
So do you think Ramosha's... do you think Ramosha's Heter of Shem Ipsayim
Hashem? So I heard that Mr. Yanke Fisher claimed... Again, in the end of his life, he was against smoking a lot. But now we're going to the halachic point. And he said that before we're discussing if it changed number-wise, let's first go back to Rav Moshe's time. Rav Moshe said, Shem Epsayim Hashem. Even that we see today, that a lot of people, you know, statistics, you have a beautiful sefer, Chaim Lelo Yishun from Rav Eschaik. He was a right-hand man from Rav Shach, and it brings all the statistics, how much, you know, lung cancer is 10% more by smokers, or 20% more, or even 80% more. And Rav Moshe says in the tshuva, I don't care. Even if Lamazagon, even if we will say that 100% people that smoke get cancer much more from people that don't smoke. He says Shem Epsoim is relevant if most of the world does not die from lung cancer, you say Shem Epsoim Hashem. Meaning, what statistic doubles the number by them, if most of the smokers do not get cancer in the end, you could say Shem Epsoim. This is the tshuva of Rav Moshe. The tshuva of Rav Moshe is not denying the medical. He says he's not so sure about the medical, and that in our days we already know exactly. But he says he's not denying, even if you will say that it doubles the numbers, or triples the numbers, if altogether all the people that die from smoking is a mute, you have a heter of Shem Epsoim Hashem. Second, Rabbi Solyanka Fisher, that was a big dayan, said that all the statistics don't apply to Jewish people. Why? We, the people that smoke by Jewish, only smoke 6 days a week. The statistic was done by people that smoke 7 days a week. Maybe when one day you don't smoke, the lungs catch up.
But that's absurd. It puts tar in the lungs. It's like if you put tar in your lungs 6 days, you don't put it in the seventh day?
Yeah. I would say medically, I don't know if what he said really takes place. But it's a nice point to say, to realize that by us, really the people that smoke, all the medicals that we have all over the world, but by smokers that smoke 7 days a week, never stopped. By us, and this is a beauty part of Klal Yisrael, that like you said, this guy bent on his floor, and I'm saying it when I go to Rosh Hashanah and I say, Yubayna Shalaylam, I use the story that you said. The guy is in jail, such a famous person. He bends on his feet to get this tobacco, to get 2 pumps. Even though it's so disgusting. But in Rosh Hashanah, the guy will not touch the cigarette. But Rosh Hashanah will get the yontif and say he will not touch cigarette. Look at the beauty of Klal Yisrael. They can't control themselves in the middle of the night. He needs a cigarette. He leaves his family. He's crazy. He does crazy. People steal crazy things for cigarettes. But the Jewish person does not put out a fire on Shabbos. 99%. I'm not saying, you know, some people have it hard and they go out to there. We're not discussing. We're speaking the general Jewish person does not smoke on Shabbos. And I think it's something so beautiful. It was worth the cigarettes just to see this beauty in these teenagers that they can't hold themselves. And like you say, you know, they're up to the internet, everything else they have, yeah? And they really need a cigarette. We know how much they're addicted. And Shabbos they don't touch.
So would you consider somebody who smokes a Mabedatz Melodas?
So I'll tell you, I don't think so. I asked this question to a couple of rabbanim when I was in a chasana, and they gave edus to someone that was smoking. Right. And I asked the question, why he's not posel edus?
Right.
He's over, you know, he's doing... So the answer is, when the person that is doing it is not doing it for the bad purpose, he's doing it because he's addicted to it. And he thinks that he has a heter. And what is the proof that he thinks that he has a heter? Listen very carefully. It's a beautiful thing. We see this boy, he doesn't smoke in Shabbos. So when he realizes that Hashem said no, this boy, even though he's so addicted, will listen to Hashem, right? So obviously, he doesn't realize that Hashem doesn't let him to smoke. He's blind. He doesn't realize. What does that prove? Shabbos, he doesn't smoke. So when Hashem says no, he listens. So we cannot consider him Abed Asmeladas. We cannot consider him Apostolatus.
You wouldn't get consider him a mumaladav arechad because he does a bit medius.
No, because I'm showing you that when comes Shabbos, he's not mumma.
Rav Kaplan, there was a
how he controls in Shabbos. He's mumma to that thing. Why in Shabbos he holds?
Let me ask you a question, Rav.
Because he knows that Hashem said no.
Rav Vozna came out with a psak, but before he was nifta, that somebody, let's say, has internet on his phone is pasul le'edus. Now, he doesn't use his phone on Shabbos. And it didn't stop Rav Vozna from passing him for Edis.
I'll tell you, it's a good question. You know, this psak of Rav Vozna about the internet, you know, needs a lot of explanation. For sure, we understand that a person that is exposed to things that he's not allowed to be exposed, as opposed to Edis, this is what the psak's not going out to Dan and the psak himself. Well, he doesn't do it in Shabbos. That person, you know, is like a person that eats chazer, yeah? And he's not Mechal Shabbos. Because he's not Mechal Shabbos, I would not say that he's not posuleidus if he eats the chazer, the oven, the lehachis, yeah? Only in cigarettes I'm bringing that. Because in cigarettes, like you said, the guy will be on the floor to get two pumps. So obviously, he doesn't realize that it's usher. There's no way. We know a smoker cannot control himself. So why he could control himself on Shabbos? Because he thinks that Hashem doesn't let it do it, and he doesn't that it's usher during the week. Mm-hmm. So that saves him, derech klal, from the avera. Not every guy that keeps a Shabbos is not a mukut or something else. But somebody that really the same very hard of control is in Shabbos like a weekday, so then we say that it's a proof. I saw it in one of the Achrayim, and I can't remember, I could try to remember. Maybe the Be'er Moshe, but I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Reb Kaplan, would you know that in many states in the United States, Colorado, and it's spreading, they've started to allow marijuana. Is there halachically, can you think of any difference between smoking marijuana and regular cigarettes?
I'll tell you the truth. I really don't know what is marijuana. I know it's a kind of drug. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that you're not allowed to smoke drugs. Even that. And if you look in Moshe Yeredeya Simon Lamed Hey, Isur Ishun Samim, he says, and it goes on marijuana. Poshut Shu Dovo Osu Mikamri Koradinim Shabbateira. So the same Rav Moshe that understands cigarettes, and he goes over to all the attain that he has in the cigarettes, and in the Tshuva Lamed Hey, he says, it's Isur Gomor, and it's very, very Chomor.
And what would be the difference?
Could be that there's medical things that change that I also not aware of, but Kol Zman, that I don't know, I say, Dereb Moshe that Klal Yisrael are trying to hold on to the cigarettes, yeah? That we don't know if Moshe will be with us, he would really give the head to today, the cigarettes, after it became so clear that it's wrong. The same Moshe does not let in no way to smell to smoke marijuana, and he spoke of that. He calls it hashish, and he puts down in brackets the English word for marijuana. So because I don't know the practical of it, Baruch Hashem, I was never exposed to that, so I would stick to the tshuva of Rav Moshe, that he's the matir, the only real heter of cigarettes we have from him, and he is the one that says no. I would really more push for no.
So it's just about Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's the end of El, and what does El stand for? Many things, but it says, one thing is Ish L'Re'eyu, from Dari, Ish L'Re'eyu Matanos L'Avyayinim, it's a time to reach out to others, or Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li, so it's a time for reaching out, which means forgiveness, and we all have somebody we're upset about, somebody at work, culturally, socially, economic reasons, family, maybe even ourselves. But one of the reasons to forgive, one of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, is Rav Chesed, because an abundance of love, of kindness. And here's the thought. You could be 100% right, but guess what? And at the end, you're going to be 100% right all alone. Because everybody makes bad mistakes. Everybody. So if we're going to be oimed on midas hadin and not forgive, we're going to be right. But we'll be all alone, and we're right. And you know what? It's no fun to be alone. When we make a simcha, we want to be surrounded by friends. All of love. You know that the Ktzais in his Hagdama writes that if they took a person up all the way to Shamayim, and they showed him all the Galgalim, all the multiverses, the heavens and the galaxies, he wouldn't be happy until he came back down here and was able to tell his friend about it. Because we need people. So if we don't forgive, you're going to be all alone. So that's a reason. Ish l'reyeyu, ani l'doydi. You know, there's a famous story. There was a rabbi who loved golf. He was a golf fanatic. So one day, it was Yom Kippur, and there was a hefsik between Musaf and the Ila. And what did he do? There was an Erev, there was a golf course right near his Shola synagogue. And there must have been an Erev around it, so he snuck out, and he decided he's going to play a round of golf between. So he stands by the golf, he picks up his club, he gives a shot. Everybody's watching. It soars straight down the fairway, down to the green, hits the putting green, bounces three times. Hole in one. Could you imagine the tumult? Hole in one. On all the malachim say, this is obviously a joke, they say, how could this be? This is what how you reward him, a hole in one on Yom Kippur. So they say, God looks and he says, tell me, who is he going to be able to tell this to? All of life, what's it worth if you don't can share it with somebody else? Right? What's it all worth? So one of the reasons, anila daidi vidaidi li ishlareo, forgive this Rosh Hashanah, make up your family, your partner, your friends. Make sure your next simcha is packed. Why? Because Rav Chesed, because we as are supposed to be daima to God, daima to Kav Yachal, and want to be connected, want to be full of loving kindness. That should be our, what we should take away for this Rosh Hashanah. Forgive everybody, mend those, so that we can hug and kiss and be friends again for our sake. We will be having some amazing guests over the next week. We'll be speaking about end-of-life issues. We will be having Reb David Cohn one more time to speak about a number of other contemporary issues. I look forward to speaking to you all. Aksiva and Achasima Taiva.